The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Yes, Jesus indeed gave a sign from heaven.
I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Father, in heaven we pray for thy divine illumination on the preaching of the word and the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, friends, aren't we glad for the word of God? Where would we be without it? What would we know without it? Our text is from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter. Let me read to you the 10th through the 13th verse. It says, "And straightway he," that is Jesus, "entered into a ship with his disciples, and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth, and began to question him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and says, Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side." Now, friends, there was a feeding of the 5,000, and here after the feeding of the 4,000, it says, "He entered into a ship and came into the parts of Dalmanutha." It is not known where this place was, but it was near the Sea of Galilee. And here we have Pharisees and Sadducees, Bible scholars, and they came asking Jesus to give them a sign. It's obvious that the Sadducees did not mean by sign another miracle, such as he had done before, not another healing, not another casting out of devils, not another feeding of thousands of people, or changing water into wine. That was not enough for them to prove to them that Jesus was the Son of God. These, my friends, were miracles, but not signs. These scholars did not ask for another miracle, but for a sign from heaven. Now, the Old Testament was their Bible, and of course, it was full of miracles. Look at Elisha, the prophet, for example. Let's make a list of the miracles he did. He divided the waters with a mantle of Elijah. He purified the waters at Jericho. He multiplied oil for a widow. He revived a Shunammite woman's son from death. He neutralized poisoned food. He healed Naaman the Syrian from leprosy. He made an axe head float. He blinded the Syrian troops, and he relieved famine in the land of Samaria. Elisha did all these miracles about 700 years before Jesus came. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he subdued the laws of nature. But just because Elisha did all these miracles, that was no proof that he was the Son of God. If a man does all these things, that is no proof that he is the Son of God. So these Pharisees and Sadducees didn't ask for another miracle. They wanted something bigger than that, some manifestation from heaven. So these scholars were looking for something that would once for all settle the question in reference as to who Jesus was. Now, that in itself is not a bad thing if you have the right intention. If you say in your heart, "Jesus, I want to believe that you are the Son of God, my Savior. Help me to believe so I can fall down and worship you." My friend, if that is your intention, the Lord may give you a sign from heaven if he thinks you really need one. Obviously, there are some that need it. You take Peter, James, and John. Jesus took these hungry souls to a high mountain, and there Jesus was transfigured into his divine glory that he had before he came to the earth. That was a sign from heaven, and it absolutely thoroughly convinced them beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus knew they needed a sign because he knew that they would face persecutions and martyrdom, and the days ahead. He wanted them to know without the benefit of a doubt who he was, that later on they could tell the story and they could say about Jesus, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Yes, my friend, Jesus knows what you need, whether you need to see another miracle or whether you need to see a sign from heaven. He knows what you need. He knows your heart. So look at the hearts of the Pharisees. First, let's look at the context. Were they hungry for God? Were they hungry to hear more about God the Father through Jesus the Son, who was on earth, reveal the Father to humankind? How many of these Bible scholars, let me ask you, do you think were with Jesus for 3 days, my friend, when finally Jesus began to feed the multitudes? How great was their hunger? How, my friend, is your hunger for God? My friend, don't expect a sign from heaven if you don't mean serious business with the things of God. These Pharisees and Sadducees would not get a sign because they had evil intentions. They were there to question him, to find fault with him. It says in our text they began to question him. If you begin to question somebody, when are you going to stop? The intent was not to fall down and worship Jesus at all. The intent was to pick at him and pick at him and pick at him and until they would pick him to death. The Amplified Bible says in verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to argue with and question him, demanding from him a sign. Friend, that's no way to get a sign from heaven. Their attitude was, "Jesus, show us a sign. I bet you can't do it." It sounds to me very much like the devil. Doesn't it sound that way to you too? They were tempting Jesus, for the Bible says, God does not tempt any man. These men were of the devil. These men, my friend, were there to get Jesus in trouble and to get rid of him. That was their intention. And my friend, Jesus does not cast his pearls before swine. So he did not give them a sign from heaven that they wanted. Jesus will not give a sign to those who demand it. Yes, Jesus indeed gave a sign from heaven, but not to the troublemakers. And that gets us to the 12th chapter of Matthew. No. Jesus was not going to let the skeptical scholars see him being transformed into the divine glory that he had before he came to earth. Jesus would not give them a sign from heaven. He did give it, however, to the multitude when he was baptized and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him as a dove, and they heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, yes, this was a repentant multitude. And my friend, if you have a spirit of repentance and you need a sign from heaven, he'll give it to you. But the hard hearts of the Pharisees did not get a sign. But there is an exception. There is an exception. There's one sign that was given for all of us, a sign from heaven. And that gets us to Matthew chapter 12. Then certain of the scribes, it says, and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." Here is the same story, but in the Gospel of Matthew, it is expanded. "And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Do you see this? Jesus said, it is a wicked generation that calls for a sign. Those are the words of our Lord. An adulterous, wicked generation calls for a sign. You and me and the whole world have the sign of Jonah the prophet, and we need no further sign when it comes right down to it. For it is by this sign of Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights that all mankind will be judged in the last day. Here's what it means. Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale. The Son of Man, that is Jesus, was killed, and he would be for 3 days in the earth, in the grave, in the heart of the earth, it says. And then he would rise again to be the Savior and to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the mighty God. And if we don't believe that and repent, woe unto us. Woe unto us. Because now going back to Jonah, my friend, I want you to know that when Jonah came out of that belly, the belly of the whale, after 3 days, he didn't go to a dress shop to get a new suit. And he didn't know when the natural color of his skin would come back to normal. He walked like a ghost, pale, bleached, with seaweed possibly still wrapped around his neck, dehydrated into the middle of the city of Nineveh, the most wicked city on the earth. And when they saw him, they ran and looked to him in great numbers, with great fear and with great attention. Jonah then preached a sermon, and he said, "Unless you repent from all your wickedness, you shall perish." No doubt, he said, "Look at what happened to me. I was disobedient to God. He told me to come here. I didn't want to come here. And so we had to be swallowed by a whale. I was in the darkness 3 days and three nights." Look at what happens when you don't obey God. His judgment will be mighty and fierce upon your lives. And my friend, the people of Nineveh saw, they beheld, and they pondered, and they repented, and they believed, and the whole city, my friend, had revival. That's the sign. That's the sign, the one sign, my friend, that Jesus gave the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that's for all of us to believe, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose, and that if we don't obey this Master, the Lord of Lords, we will be destroyed, as if the city of Nineveh were about to be destroyed, except that we would believe and repent. So let's go on now with the story. Jesus meeting with the Pharisees and the scribes. Let me pick it up in verse 40 and go on with it. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." It speaks about his death. And then it says in the next verse, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. "For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Jesus, my friend, was here on the earth, a greater than Abraham, than Moses, than Solomon, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He died on the cross. He spent 3 days in the grave. He rose from the dead. He's calling on all of us to repent. And unless we do so, my friend, we're facing everlasting darkness. We need no other sign than the sign of the prophet of Jonah, to fall prostrate at Jesus' feet and to worship him as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. So I conclude with these wonderful words of the hymn that says, "I have no other argument, I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time over the same station. Goodbye now. Until then, I'm Pastor Schulze.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.